Super name, easy man. Super name, easy man. Super name, easy man.
Yeah, the soup boys are back. Jimbo, how are you?
Ah, Frank, it's another day in paradise. I'm doing fantastic. Mid-February date of recording, and you know, snow for some folks. They got that soup season still a brewing, but you know, it's kind of nice here on the Southern California area. So I'm feeling good. Frank, what's new with you?
I'm feeling good as well. I'm happy that you're feeling good. I've had a good week, good month of soup. It's a post recovery of soup month of January. I mean, one thing I'd like to discuss is I don't know why January soup month, because I'd personally like to make November soup month, fall into soup with Frank. But Jimbo's favorite podcast episodes ever.
I mean, the theme song was just on point, but you know, it started off strong. I'll just say that.
Jackie and Corey. You don't know Jackie.
No, I mean the theme song began every episode. No, but everyone was great. Thank you so much for those while I was in Fiji. I believe I was there during that time. So thank you for Bali. I call it Bali because what's that country that people go to that's two words? Bora Bora. I call it Bali and Bora Bora. I feel like why not? Twice as fun. But yeah, Frank, I agree with you. You know, the fall, that's when you're kind of getting into those cooler months. It's a new change in weather, and that's when the soup kind of comes. The winter, January, you're just surviving to stay warm. So it's almost like a necessity. It's not like an added perk of having it be soup month. You agree with that?
Surviving to stay warm in the 70 degree weather.
You know it. You know it.
Oh, no.
You know what? I will say, when it rains, because rain is equal to snow out here. Although it did hail, and the hail melted, and it did cause some slush on the road, believe it or not. So all those Teslas with their slick tires, they were just autopilot. Good luck. But when it rains, a lot of places give out free or discounted soup and or hot chocolate or coffee, that sort of thing. Not really coffee, but mostly hot chocolate. In-N-Out, for example, if it rains, kids get free hot chocolate. No purchase necessary, I believe. And one of my favorites, Daphne's. It's a regular soup on the podcast, my lemon chicken soup that they have. When it rains, they have deals for, like, you know, I think it's $1.50 off, sometimes $3 soup. So you get some deals out here.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah. I would like to just comment that I'm never like a big, you know, like the five that I can relate to. This is a soup podcast, so I will relate this back. But you know, when you're buying soup and they're like, get $5 off a $25 purchase, that doesn't excite me. Like, I forget, and I never use that coupon. I never use the $5 off $25. But I'm like, what a waste. Like, give me something free.
Even you have to only buy soup?
No, I'm just, Jimbo, we're...
Your total bill.
We're hosting a soup podcast here. I'm just saying, in general, the coupons, say you're buying soup and you're at the soup store.
Yeah.
And it's like, you have a coupon in the paper, you know, you clipped it out, and you get the $5 off coupon off a $25 purchase. I never use that coupon. Only the buy the free stuff, like the buy 12, get one free. Like, see, unless I'm getting something free, I never use it.
But you're getting $5 free, Frank. That's the day that you go and you get paper towels, or you get Windex, or you get toilet paper.
Yeah, but like, I like
$5 off those big purchases.
Target does it, not sponsored, does it right, where they give me a gift card. Like, they give me, even though I have to come back and I don't get the $5 then, I have something physical. I'm like, I have a gift card now and I can come back to Target and spend that.
Frank, I think you have a spinoff idea of a podcast with couponing with Frank, but that's for another day. This is Soup It Ain't Easy, the number one soup podcast on the internet, interwebs, ethernet, and all of the above. We have a packed show for our super fans today. First, we're going to enter the Soup Saloon, Frank's favorite place to have a libation. We're going to tell you about soup news. We have an interesting article today involving the famous chili. Is it a soup? Is it not? Well, guess what? It probably is for some people now. More to come there. A fantastic interview with Craig Fear, author of New England Soups from the Sea. We teased him last episode and we had the interview. It'll be a replay. So that will occur pretty soon after that. And soups we've tried this week. So Frank and I will go into that. And then everyone's favorite, and Frank, I know it's your favorite segment, the Wheel of Segments. How was that? Was that everything, Frank? We got a packed agenda.
Yes. Yes, it's like Jimbo's the cruise director at the beginning of the day with the announcement. Doot, doot, doot.
I know. I that's actually, I went on two cruises in my life. Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing that stands out most as I wish I thought about doing that early in life. That could have been like a cool first job. And then you wake up and you're 45 and you're still doing it. So maybe it's not the best. Frank, let's go into the soup saloon because I'm getting thirsty.
I believe that we have Jimmy on the piano.
On the keys.
On the keys.
Sounds wonderful.
Pull up a stool because it's the soup saloon.
Pull up a stool, Frank. Pull up a stool. Hey, Jimmy, sing us a song. You're the piano man.
I think
piano man.
might be a little after his time.
Billy Joel. Frank, I have my beer in hand. What's happening?
I'm sorry. This is an audio medium, but Jimbo just pulled out his beer and has a Jersey Goosey on.
Oh, you didn't see that? Sorry. We're celebrating the New York Rangers. They actually lost tonight, but I believe they're still number one in their Metro division. And Chris Kreider, I believe, is still the leading goal scorer in the NHL. So I got to support my, look at this, the little jersey. Only Frank can see this, but Rangers, koozie, love it. So I was going to say before you rudely interrupted me at the soup saloon, I pulled up my stool, Frank, and I'm getting yelled at. This is my final New Belgium beer. I'm not going to even review it. It's just New Belgium. If you're not going to sponsor me at this point, then it's done. You're done, son. So I'm going to enjoy this. Frank, you can go through a review on your beer or wine or liqueur, whatever you have today. And I'm going to sit back and listen to Jimmy on the keys.
So which New Belgium beer is it?
It doesn't matter, Frank. I told you, I'm not going to even tell him. I think it's the regular degular IPA.
Right.
Ooh, Jimmy.
Well, you said you wanted to listen to him.
I do. I do. Billy Joel. What's your favorite Billy Joel song, Frank?
Oh, I mean, has to be Allentown.
What? Of course.
Pennsylvania. What did you think I was going to say?
I don't know. For some reason, Uptown Girl was stuck in my head for you. Huh? I could see you walking to school, walking to class. Uptown Girl. She's been living in a...
I like New York State of Mind.
That's a sad one, I think.
All right. Hold on. I will crack it open first.
Oh, gosh. So that completely blew out my ear. So sorry, super fans, if Frank blew out yours. Your car stereo system and your Honda Accords are destroyed. Sorry. Sorry, Frank. Super fans.
I should have. Now I don't want to. So I spill on the computer. I can show Jimbo. I am drinking a Star Hill Brewery.
Ooh, that's Northern, a nice can.
Northern Lights IPA.
Wow. And it's two R's for Star. Which is like, I believe there's a musician back in the day called Ryan Starr with two R's. Look that up. Throwback.
Two R's on Starr or two R's in Ryan?
I was always confused because there was a Ryan Starr girl and a Ryan Starr boy. And Rhinestar Girl, I believe, was American Idol. Mm. And Rhinestar Boy was like a Chris Daughtry wannabe. Okay. But one of them had two R's in star. And I thought that was interesting.
It was the female.
Interesting.
Going to shock you, but Rhinestar, the female's birth name is not Rhinestar.
I wonder if Rhinestar Chris Daughtry wannabe can sue Rhinestar two R's.
Yeah, Rhinestar one R only. Well, the male is the guy.
He's got one. He's got two good songs. What's one good song? This is now a Rhinestar podcast.
Stay a while.
We're gonna start a fire. And then he has that Stay a While is also a good one. So after you listen to this incredible episode, give Rhinestar a couple of views on the YouTube.
Oh, and his song was the theme song to Lie to Me. Okay, I'll get to this beer. We're rabbit trailing a lot on this episode. All right, so this is an IPA. I'm assuming it's going to be piney, which I feel like is every IPA because it smells
my
like
pine.
And there's a forest on there.
Ooh, it's like a walk in the woods. Northern Lights, Frank, that's on everyone's bucket list. Do you know anyone that ever went to the Northern Lights?
I believe that my grandparents took a cruise around Alaska.
Wow. You know what? Stereotype engaged. That's what you do when you're a grandparent. You go on the Alaskan cruise, look at them. It depends what type of year. You don't have to worry about going to bed early because it's always dark at some point. So that's a good idea.
So apparently this is an older beer that packaging has definitely evolved throughout the years. 2004 it started being brewed apparently, but it's good. I mean, it definitely tell it, you know, walk in the woods. It tastes like not as like piney as like one of my father's IPAs, but I'm telling you, he looks for the beer where it's just like
a hops,
mouthful of pines. Yeah, like
he likes the cat tongue.
Yeah, just the IBU scale is just like the higher end. But I'll give this like a
1 to 100. We rate our beers here on Stupid and Easy.
Forget.
I know you do. That's why I reminded you. Alec, can you please remind our intern, Alec, can you please remind Frank about the beer scale next time in our pre-show meeting? Thanks.
72.
That's a pretty good score, 72 for a walk in the woods.
Beer Advocate gives it an 81, and it is the 4,061 ranked American IPA.
Numbers are hard. There's a lot of IPAs in the world there, Frank, for that number.
Too many.
We need to make our own beer, the Stupid and Easy beer. If you are a brewmaster and you are thinking about partnerships, Soup Boys, here to stay.
Well, I mean, we're broth masters, but...
the broth boys. the broth brothers. Frank, let's hit him up with our next segment. Let's move swiftly to Mr. Soupington to hear what soup news is this week.
I think Alec.
Alec, intern Alec. It's been how many years? You're never going to get out of this role.
I think he's telling me that this was the only drop he didn't have loaded up.
This is upsetting on so many levels. It's every episode. Thank you.
I'm veteran newsman Scott Soupington, and it's time for this week in Soup News.
Thank God we have him on our team.
Soup. Scott Soupington. What
Soup Soupington.
Yeah,
Frank.
Soup Soupington.
Soup. I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't mean to disrespect, but that's what comes out of the mouth. Frank, hit him with the headline. What are we dealing with this week in Soup News?
Okay. So a little bit of concerning news. if you're especially in the Cincinnati area. But cans of Skyline Chili, there's a recall. This is courtesy of 10TV.com, a CBS affiliate. Cans of Skyline Chili recalled because it may be soup instead. The concern is that the soup may be in the chili cans. The soup that may be in the chili cans, reading is hard, contain known allergens that wouldn't have been declared on the product labeled for chili.
Wow. What a mistake. Mislabeled completely. You think you're buying chili, but you get chicken soup. Is that correct?
Yeah, I believe so. Which, you know, it's not tomato soup, so I don't think it's the end of the world. But definitely, I mean, an upgrade potentially besides the allergy and the health stuff.
I mean, this is just me, Frank. And maybe some people, their last dollar went to get this can of soup and they needed to eat the contents. And they're like, oh, I thought I was getting chili, but let me get this chicken soup and I might be allergic. If I see the label says something and I open it up and it is something completely different, garbage town, Frank. I don't care. I'm not saving it. I'm not going to do a lawsuit. I'm not even going on Twitter with it. Actually, I'll probably go on Twitter with it. I'm not going to consume it because if the label was messed up in this process, there's probably something else manufacturing in the assembly line that was messed up in this process.
So it is cream of chicken soup, which was found in the cans. This is from a different article. This is WCPO, ABC affiliate in Cincinnati. Human error was to blame.
Do you think that guy saw his job?
I'm not sure. They may be one of that. It's not known. Maybe if you look on LinkedIn, you may see somebody who's ended it their tenure. But yeah, it's, you know what, cream of chicken isn't. I mean, that's a casserole soup. That's a condensed soup that you put with tater tots and green beans. But
so I, even to your point, which I think you're getting at, it's not a soup that you're like, oh, I just got double noodle, double chicken soup. I'm going to go in for it. If you think you're getting chili and then you decide to eat this cream of chicken soup, not many people should be doing that because it's not as appealing as that double chicken, double noodle.
Yeah. And especially Skyline Chili isn't like one that you particularly, that was tough. It's more of, it's like,
would you put on the Hormel scale? Would you give Hormel the upper edge in terms of chili?
You haven't had Hormel in a while. I'd probably say Skyline. We do have a package of, this is funny, Skyline Chili Spaghetti in the, so we went to Cincinnati. We discussed this on the podcast. We went to Cincinnati in the summer and they are known for the chili. So we, their famous thing is just spaghetti and then putting chili on top and then like just unhealthy amounts of cheese, just like just my hand size for people that know, like my hand size of just cheese on the plate.
My hands are small, I know.
But yeah, I mean, both are like not like just, you know, dig in the, put your spoon in and just like dig in, like you kind of do stuff with them. So yeah, I don't know. I would say that though, probably not something you're probably bummed out because Skyline Chili, a little upper echelon in the chili game. So you're probably getting not a great bargain if you have cream of mushroom, because cream of mushroom soup's super cheap. So yeah, I would say probably an upgrade would be if you think you're getting cream of mushroom soup and you get Skyline Chili, I think that may be an upgrade.
And the timing can't be worse for this company. Super Bowl Sunday just passed us by. People stocked up on this chili and it ruined some sort of dip.
Yeah, and Bengals took an L. So,
oh yeah, we talked about it. I was rooting for the Bengals.
I was not. So the man not in California was rooting for.
I mean, I feel like as someone who didn't watch NFL at all this year, if you watch 30 seconds of the pregame, including the Rock's 2-minute hype, whatever that was, I felt like I knew everything about both teams. So I didn't miss a beat. And I watched maybe one quarter of the Super Bowl and was not affected by the loss. Until next year, Frank. That's what I say for the Bengals.
Yeah, I don't like to be negative on the podcast, but let me just say that some parts of the non-Super Bowl game stuff, we would say pregame. I would like to have dunked my head into a thing of cream of mushroom soup during the whole time, so I couldn't hear, just like with a snorkel, just so it like engulfs my ears. Like, here's the thing, Rock, national treasure. Don't
think finally, the Rock has come back to Los Angeles.
I love the Rock. That wasn't necessary. That was, I like, let's get off the kickoff. Let's go. Let's keep it moving, buddy. It's not his fault. It was not, he should have not been put in that place. You know, get your money, honey, as the kids say. But yeah.
I thought it was great. I mean, as a Rock fan from wrestling up until some of his movies, Pain and Gain, pretty good. I just watched that recently. And,
you like that?
It was pretty good. Okay. Two points that I really enjoyed from the pregame. One, the sign language person, her name was Frank, which I thought was a cool thing. Congrats to that. But you know what was funny? They introduced her and they had her like do it one thing, but then completely off the TV. Don't you think if I needed her, I wanted to see her on the TV the entire time?
Yeah, yeah, that would, that's a
little weird. And two, whoever sang the national anthem, I believe, or America the Beautiful or God Bless America, one of the songs, her name with the tagline of Voice of an Angel. Frank, next episode, I like you to introduce me as Jimbo Soupboy, Voice of an Angel.
Mickey Guyton was the singer.
Do you think she just, hey, write that down and see if they say it? Or did she trademark Voice of an Angel?
I'm not. She is one of the best. Like, she's a very good country singer. But yeah, that is a interesting name to have. Like, you know, they could say that for me, obviously. Voice of an Angel that has been smoking cigars for.
I was going to say voice years. of a walrus. That could work.
Or a seal. Arr. Kermit the Frog.
Frank, I think that's enough for Soup News. Let's move on, Frank, to our next segment. This is it. Our interview with Craig Fear, author of New England Soups from the Sea. Craig Fear was nice enough to spend some time with us. And we recorded this. We will play it for you in its entirety. It was a fantastic talk. We learned a lot about soups, New England seafood. So it's all about Jimbo soups and some fun facts along the way, Frank. So anything else you want to add before we move on to the interview?
No, I had a ton of fun during it. I definitely, I got informed, especially about New England soups and definitely about like the process of writing a cookbook like this. So you know,
3.5 years it took him. So it's chock full of knowledge. We get into that. But yeah, it's worth the read. So we go into all the details on how you can obtain the book. Comes out March 8th. And with that, Frank, let's listen to the interview.
And we have on a very special guest, the author of New England Soups from the Sea, Recipes for Chowders, Bisque, Boils, Stews, and Classic Seafood Medleys, which is out March 8th, Craig Fear. Craig, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing great. Jimbo, how are you?
Fantastic. This is amazing. We were prepping up Craig last episode, and
he was nice enough to send us a copy of his book before the launch date on March 8th. And let me tell you guys, if you're into soups, especially in the New England region of that type of soup, you're in for a treat, literally in for a treat. So super excited to talk to the man himself, Craig Fear, about everything, this book.
So yeah, when we got when we connected and I got to read the book, I'm like, Jimbo's gonna love this, because Jimbo loves seafood soup. He is Mr. Like lobster bisque and New England clam chowders, which I know in the book there's a lot more to New England soups than just that. But yeah, so I guess just to like start off, how did you like get the idea for the book, and like when did you start?
Yeah, well, you know, I'd written two soup books previously. And I kind of, my first love has always been seafood soups. I was thinking about my next project. I kind of been thinking about it for like a year, if I wanted to do another soup cookbook. And, I just kind of had this like epiphany, like moment. I was on Cape Cod. I go out there every summer, twice a summer to visit a friend. And I was sitting in this coffee shop, and you know, you kind of, sometimes you're in between projects in your life and you're not sure what's the right thing to do. I was kind of brainstorming all these things, if I should write a soup book again, or if I should do some other things like an online program. You know, there's so many things you can do today.
Right.
And it was just like, all of a sudden, it just was like my mind stopped. It was like, no, this is absolutely the right project. Like, it was just like, it just came to me like, no, like this is, I just knew this was the right project, because I just felt like I'd written a book on Thai soups because I've been to Southeast Asia and I love Southeast Asian soups, especially Thailand. I did more of a general soup book, but I had this realization. I'm like, oh God, I'm here on Cape Cod. I come out here all the time. I love, like, everywhere I go, I'm just looking for like the greatest, like seafood, anything, chowder, like a soup version, like a chowder, a bouillabaisse, a stew. I'm always like my first thing. And, yeah, I just, for me, it was just like, there was so many things I could explore and write about. And it's my first love. Like, I'm from the Northeast. I live in New England. You know, I'd written this book on Thai soups, and all of a sudden I was like, well, wait, I'm right in New England. And I love this stuff. I love seafood. I just feel like there's so much I just knew there was so much I wanted to write about, not just the soups, but seafood. You know, I'm really big into like sustainability and looking at food with like a very kind of, you know, as local, kind of looking at kind of local food systems. And I knew I could kind of, you know, share that perspective, that it was something that was important to me. Like, we need to eat more seafood, local seafood everywhere. But I wanted to like really focus on the seafood in New England, bring that into all the recipes. So yeah, I just knew it was the right project. And I didn't think it was going to take me 3.5 years to do it. I really felt like year and a half. But sometimes these things take a life of their own, but it's worth it. So finally, after 3.5 years, you're just about ready to be out.
Well, I will say, from looking and reading the book, the 3.5 years were, the time was well spent, because you kind of hit on it earlier. When you think of New England soups, and Frank said, I love lobster bisques. You think of lobster bisque, you think of New England clam chowder, right? There's only those two kind of come in there. And you mentioned that, but you know, I mean, there's so many other fish type soups, crustacean type soups, anything like that, that you really have to dig into your book. And really you can have a year's worth of recipes if you really wanted to. It's a lot of things that you would never think of that you spell out perfectly. So I can see that 3.5 years came into play.
Well, that was the thing, you know, it was like, I knew there was so much more than what people are aware of, you know, like exactly. You go to any restaurant, it's like the clam chowder and lobster bisque is all that most places serve.
Which, by the way, I love them. If you had the choice right now, you're at a restaurant, they have those two soups, which one are you going with?
Oh man, I'd probably go with lobster bisque only because I find most restaurant chowder is really kind of boring. It's like something I don't order chowder much anymore in restaurants because I know much better I can make it at home.
So yeah, that was one thing, is like the Because like when I think of like New England, because in the summer of 2020, I took kind of like a soup road trip around like New England, mainly like Cape Cod and stuff like that. Oh, and like, cool. Yeah, like my favorite is just like the mugs of just clam chowder. Yeah. Just the, yeah.
It's delicious, right? It's great. I mean, I love it. I do. But you know, like I always say, like even bad chowder is good chowder. So like,
right.
If you eat enough of it, I think it starts to get a lot. I know a lot of restaurants aren't making it like the old school authentic way. So I try to kind of present like how to really kind of make it in a way at home that kind of takes it to like, kind of elevates it and takes it to another level. The good place, you know, some places will make it really great, but the more you kind of eat it, you're more like, it all kind of blends together after all.
Right.
A lot of it's like too thick, too pasty, you know, chewy bits of clams. I know they're always like the canned clams or like just, you know, not enough potatoes or too much potatoes or just like the wrong consistency. So in my book, I try to like show people how you can really like make it like the old school way.
Mm.
And then, you know, you kind of get a little, like I do, like a little snooty when you go to restaurants.
Well, yeah, that's after like the, because you know, when you're in New England and it's soup guy, you've got to, if they have soup, I had to try it. So after like the seventh, clam chowder of the week, I'm like, yeah, I think I'm going to take a break from, clam chowder. And that you talked about Cape Cod. This is a little inside Cape Cod soup, but have you ever been to Captain Parker's pub in Plymouth, Massachusetts?
I have not been there.
I brought it up because it was, well, of course they're going to claim, but it was like the claim of the best New England clam chowder in Cape Cod. right.
Every restaurant claims it. They're all award winning.
Right.
You see it every place.
World famous.
Oh yeah, everywhere. I always wonder like why everywhere's like award winning. I'm like, right. I don't know how, like I just think you know, you go to like maybe some bake sale and they have a few I don't know places they're competing against and right. Hey, we won so right. But everywhere you go it's award, they say on their menu award winning. They never tell you like where they won it. I don't know. Right. I always kind of laugh at that a little bit.
So yeah, I was going to ask about this, about like the other soups besides like the bisque and the chowders, like coming up like with the recipes and stuff. Did you like go and try a lot of soups throughout these like 3.5 years or?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I was experimenting constantly in my kitchen and, you know, everywhere I would go, I would just try to like, you know, try whatever I could. You know, I kind of, you know, grew up in the Northeast and, you know, just kind of knew all these different, you know, like the chowder chapter, for example, I have 18 different chowders and I start out with, you know, the major regional styles around New England, the ones that, you know, clam chowders that people are, at least if you're in New England, there's like 3 or 4, you know, regional styles, your New England clam chowder, the one everyone knows, of course, Manhattan, which, you know, it does have a, it is served on the, like, you know, very common on the southern coast of Connecticut and Rhode Island. And of course, Rhode Island clam chowder, which is your clear broth right. clam chowder. That's not one always as well known as the others. Mm-hmm. And then there's like a main version, which is a little milkier than like the typical New England. And then I just, you know, was using, you know, just there's so many things, so many different types of chowders you can make beyond just clam chowder. Like historically, clam chowder started out as fish, or chowder started out as fish chowder. It was all fish chowder until probably somewhere in the middle to late 19th century when clams started being introduced. Mm-hmm. And then for quite a long time, it was like, they kind of like lived equally together. Like there were the fish chowders and clam chowders, and maybe even other like types of chowders were very common. And you could throw anything in a chowder, like, you know, lobster, mussels, scallops, all types of fish, anything. Mm-hmm. And then somewhere like middle 20th century is where like clams kind of came to predominate menus, and that kind of became the like iconic dish of New England. But I tried to like, you know, just show people, hey, there's a lot more than clams. And you know, so I kind of took it almost, you know, all sorts of different shellfish and different species of fish, from different types of whitefish to more like full flavored fish, like bluefish, salmon, and just, you know, you can do anything. You can be really creative. So Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of what I do throughout the book with different kind of like chapters on bisques or stews and like kind of like your standard wing things that people know. But here's like how you can get a little bit more creative with it and kind of come up with your own things as well.
Love it. There's a soup for everybody. And I love what you, a little nugget in here, as you are making the soups at home, you have the opportunity to make, I'm sure, like a big pot, right? And you're not going to finish it all in one night. And there's one thing in here that I totally agree with. And maybe you can speak from experience. Leftovers taste better. 100% agree with that headline right there.
Oh yeah, it's like you know, anyone you know who's been around long enough knows. It's not just, you know, chowder. I think most people know with chowder, like especially old school New Englanders, you know, it tastes better the next day. The flavor is kind of you know, sometimes they call it aging or curing. The flavors is kind of, you know, all kind of mix and settle, and kind of some of the herb, you know, flavors in the herbs and things will just kind of like dissipate and just, you know, flavor it over time. And you can say that about many different types of soups. I've, you know, experienced that with just some of my kind of Asian soups I like to make. Like the next day, like, oh, this is, you know, you can just taste the lemongrass and the, and the, you know, the ginger so much more the next day. So yeah, same thing in seafood soups too. And so I always say, like, you know, if you can wait the next day, it's right. Sometimes, you know, that's why sometimes it's good to make a bigger portion, because of course you don't want to like make it and then not eat it right away. You just like jonesing to eat it. But if you can make a bigger pot the next day, you'll notice like, oh yeah, that really is, it really, you know, it's much better. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd seen the kind of, when you touched upon like unique kind of soups, the one that caught my eye, and I know it caught Jimbo's eyes because we're both beer guys, is the PBR mussel soup. How did you, were you like drinking some PBRs and like, this might actually be good in some mussel soup or?
Well, I mean, because there's a couple times where some beer might have spilt into a soup bowl and you just go for it. So maybe that's the accident that made it a reality. I wish it was that.
Yeah. Well, really, you know, that recipe is in the brothy soup chapter. So, and those are recipes where I took more creative liberties. There was more like basically just. Most of the recipes in there are like, most of them are my own creations. And a lot of them, especially for like the mussels, some of the clams, like a lot of the mussels and clams, like they were just inspired from like appetizers you see in restaurants, you know, different, right. Like I have a, section of an oyster soup. So I had an oyster Rockefeller soup where I took like the appetizer version, just like kind of like added a little bit more broth, add a little bit more of the herbs that might be in it. And for the beer and mussel one, you know, that's a very common appetizer, a little beer, like a beer and a little, like, you know, the mussels are steamed in it and a little touch of beer brings out some nice flavor. So I thought, maybe if I could make a soup around, you know, if I, you know, there are beer soups kind of, they're not uncommon. So I, you know, I just kind of, I messed around with it and, you know, experimented for a little while until I got like the ratios right of like the mussel broth to the beer. And
a little bit more beer,
a little bit more beer, take a sip on the side. Right. Yeah.
That's how we would do it. So
yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Well, yeah, it reminded me of, cause you have like the last like chapters kind of on like boils and stuff, which like also kind of like, that seems like summer and like this PBR soup, like, and that's when I saw like in the little like descriptions, like Anthony Bourdain, who's like one of my, like kind of like one of my favorites, like I grew up watching him, but like when you mention him, I was like transported. I'm like, I want to be at like Martha's Vineyard or Cape Cod, which is in the summertime, just a New England clam boil or fish boil and stuff. So did you do some like recipe testing with that in the summer, just like have some people over or whatever?
I had soup parties. They were great. They were really awesome. Like I would have, you know, I'd make 5, 6, 7 different soups and I'd invite as many people as I could over because I needed feedback. I needed people to tell me like, what do you, and I have my notebook and I'd serve a soup. I'd sit at the head of the table and I'd have all these different like different things you could add into the soup. And I'd say, okay, like, taste it right now. What do you like? What you don't? And everyone would give me feedback. I'm like, okay, well, I want you to add this, a squeeze of this lemon juice in, or this whatever, and like this spice. What do you think now? So yeah, and that was a lot of fun. And it gave me a lot of, it was awesome. It helped me out a lot. Sometimes the responses were really surprising. I remember I had this mussel bisque in there that I wasn't sure about. Like, my taste buds were like, I think I like this, but I don't know.
Right.
Like, this is really unusual. Like, I think this is really good, but I need, and a friend of mine who's like a fellow seafoodie, she loves seafood as much as I do. She's like, this is one of the most delicious things I've ever tasted. Like, this has to be in the book.
Mm.
And that kind of was like, all right, well, I'm glad it, like, you know, gave me some confirmation of things. So.
And so, yeah, that kind of ties me into like my last question, because like when you have people over, especially like with soup, there's a lot of like people who just like have soup with crackers. And there is a part of the book where you talk about the pros and cons of crackers. And like, yeah. Jimbo and I kind of had this like divide, because I like some, you know, some saltines or some oyster crackers in there, and Jimbo doesn't.
Oh, yeah. There's multiple times where I'll get a crock of chowder and I'll throw the oyster crackers at the waitress. I'm like, I don't want these. They're going to ruin the soup.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I didn't focus. Well, did you have a question? I said, I didn't want to cut you off.
No. I was just going to ask. I was like, yeah, I didn't know if like where it come kind of just the not, it doesn't seem like you're like not a fan of the crackers, but I just didn't know about like, you know, where do you kind of just like the focus on the soup? So that's why you're not like a big fan of the crackers?
From this survey right here, which is Frank and I, it polar opposites. So I'm sure the world is team crackers or team no crackers.
Yeah. It's like one of those things that like, it's a personal preference. And like, I chose not to like focus too much on like breads and crackers, mm-hmm. because it wasn't really like my, like I thought initially when I was thinking about in the initial stages of the book, of just kind of like thinking of chapters, I thought about maybe putting a bread, like different breads, because so many different types, like Portuguese bread and Italian, but I'm like, I had to slow down. I'm like, this is not, I'm not a baker. Like,
right.
And I same for crackers. Like, I'm like, you know, I'll just give people the option on these things. Like, whatever crackers you want, whatever bread you want, it's going to be good. And just to focus more on the soups. And I did say, like, in the, little section on crackers, I'm not a big, you know, it's like, I'm a little too harsh sometimes, maybe with my like food opinions. I'm really like, I really want people to eat real food. Like, that's my thing. Like, I learned a lot about like food in this. I used to be a nutritional therapist, and I really kind of turned me on to like farm to table food and like what real food really is. And I just know it's in these conventional crackers, you know, they're not terrible, but they're made with really poor quality oils. And so like, I just don't want to be telling people to, so I said like, listen, like, you know, whatever crackers you want, of course, oyster crackers are like the common, you know, thing for chowder, but just know that like, they're going to be made with a lot of GMO oils and poor quality oils. So, you know, try to find a good, an organic or good quality one. So
hey, Frank, I've been telling you for years, got to work on your diet.
Yeah. Well, if you're having soup, man, you know, you're making the stock, you broth yourself, you're probably ahead of the game for most people.
Yeah. Well, that's when you kind of talked about like the breads as well. We have this whole debate about like Bread Bowl. I have a little club called Bread Bowl Nation. Because I am a big fan of soup in a bread bowl.
And I'm not in that club at all.
Jimbo is not in that club. But that's like in New England, like when I was just like touring around, like every like chowder and stuff like had the option of a bread bowl. So
well, this has been a fantastic talk with you, Craig. Any final words or final takeaways for anybody looking at your book before it hits the shelves on March 8th?
Yeah, well, if you're hearing this before March 8th, it is available for pre-order. So you can go. It's on all the major book sites, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple Books. You can just go to my website. It's fearlesseating.net. And there's a link for the book. You'll see on the menu bar. And then you can, you know, choose whichever place you want to order it from. If you're hearing this after March 8th, of course, it will be available after March 8th. And my website, fearlessheating.net. You can sign up for my newsletter. I'm always, you know, tinkering with new recipes and sharing different kind of soup related kind of things about, you know, whatever. So, seasonal recipes. Obviously, right now I'm really focused on seafood. So that's probably where I'm going to be at for the next, you know, 4, 5, 6 months or so as I promote the book. But I'll, you know, always share out different kind of health tips and things I learn along the way. And I think I plan on writing more books. I never know, but like, I think I'll probably write another book or two soup related kind of, there's so many different regions of the world and kind of like ethnic soups and things that I just love and see myself exploring. So I don't know where it's going to take me, but if you sign up for my newsletter, you'll find out.
So. Good plug. So, all right, Craig, thank you so much for talking to Jimbo and I. We definitely got educated on the New England soups and definitely the book. So definitely go check it out if you're listening to this. So, all right, Craig, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
That was awesome. Thank you so much to Craig for coming on the podcast. Definitely make sure to check out his book. He told you where to find it. So, and you know what? I know what I'm going to be doing on March
8th. What's that, Frank?
Even though we've read the book, I'm going to make sure to chat with all of our soup pals who've picked up the book, and we can have a bit of not a book club, but, you know, a chat.
A soup club. I mean, he talked about having like a soup club. So we should bring that into our world a little bit. Yeah. Technically, every time we record, I feel like it's a soup club.
Fearlesseating.net, Thursday Night Soup Club is his newsletter. So definitely
subscribe.
Yeah, I know. What an awesome name. We talked about this with him. Just an awesome name. Just the Thursday Night Soup Club. So yeah, that was definitely awesome, and we're
love it.
Thankful for him to come on. So Jimbo, would you like to cruise direct us to our next segment?
I mean, I would love to, Frank. We are going into our next segment, the soups that the soup boys have tried this week.
What soups did Frank and Jim try this week? Did they try an oldie soup or something with crema? Or did they try a fancy Jim soup? We will find out. We will find out.
We don't have the rights to the rest of the song, but I think it's covered under parody law. Jimbo, would you like to go first?
Wasn't that the song from, what was that, the movie with Jim Carrey when the guy was trying to jump off the building? Wasn't that
yes,
song?
Yes, man. Yeah. Yes,
that's
man.
Like the only good scene from that movie. Can we agree on that?
I watched it when I was like 9 when it came out, but I thought it was fine.
No, that was the only good. I might actually own that on DVD, believe it or not. When Blockbuster was a thing, the thing was to get like 4 or 5 for 20. You buy the discs that have been completely scratched, and you literally have at home the disc cleaner with the fluid. Come on, our super fans know that.
I remember Blockbuster, but contrary to popular belief, I remember going every week to the video store, going to the Blockbuster, getting the little candy at the checkout line while you're waiting.
Oh, man. Did you buy the popcorn with the bucket?
Oh, I always wanted that. No.
What a waste of money.
I always thought that was so cool. So, all right, Jimbo, would you like to go first?
I'll go first, Frank. Thank you for offering. As much as I would love some New England soup, some bisque, some chowder that we just talked about with Craig, there's a soup that I'd like to talk about that I tried. And your boy Jimbo was feeling a little bit under the weather, you know, no worries, all good now. I survived, I made it through. And it was just a cold, by the way. I know people are thinking, one way, and I'm not a doctor, but I have the cure, Frank. I have the cure to get over whatever you have in just one soup setting. You like that, Frank? One soup setting. Now, one of the things that I think about, especially when it's snowy, mid-February, when you're a child, you go sledding, Frank, snowboarding if you're rich. And you go and you come back home and you're freezing. You're like that boy, Frank, in the Campbell's soup commercial who turns into a snowman. Everything, carrot nose, the coal as the buttons, even the top hat, Frank. And as he slowly enters into the nice warm home, he melts away and unveils himself as the boy that he is. Frank, I was that boy without the snow, but I did not have that Campbell's soup. I had something that cures all of your coldness in terms of temperature and illness. Frank, it is the Lipton noodle soup, something that you find in a box and something that sometimes you omit and you go for the ramen, the top ramen, Frank. Now, I know, Frank, you are a top ramen fan. You are the one that's omitting and passing by on the Lipton side of things, but do not, especially if you're feeling a little cold, because that's the trick, Frank. You make that soup boiling, boiling hot. You chug that soup down your throat. The next day, you're frolicking through the woods, Frank. One thing I'd like to add about this fantastic Lipton noodle soup, which I enjoyed, you need to really consume all of the liquid. That sodium is doing its job for that purpose of getting you to feel better. But one thing that they changed since I was a child, it is now double noodle, Frank. And I think that's the standard, almost like how the double stuffed Oreo is now the standard. If you get single stuffed, what is that? It's just a cookie. And now mega stuff is what you're dealing with. So double noodle Lipton noodle soup, that's a treat because you get the extra noodle along with that fantastic sodium soup. Frank, I'm going to give the Lipton double noodle soup scale 1 to 10. 5.2. I know that's low, wow, but it's a very simple soup that gets the job done. It's above halfway. It's not below the 5, so you know it's working. And if you want to spruce it up a little bit, add some mushrooms, add some broccoli, add some carrots, do what you want, but I went regular degs.
So I did review a Lipton soup on the podcast before. The instant soup mix Ringo noodle, 6.7. The biggest thing I'll say about that, like one packet could serve like a family.
Yes, one packet was 2 servings, so it was split between 2 people for sure. So that is something to consider versus the ramen soup where it's a one packet and you're good.
I mean, like I tried to make it for lunch and like I could have had this as like a side dish for my family's Thanksgiving. Like it was so, the instructions you made like so much of just like one packet.
Leftovers, so. like we talked about in the interview, leftovers are best.
Yeah. Just making a big pot and just letting it sit in the, fridge and mm-hmm. Congeals the wrong word.
Speaking of congeal, Frank, let's hear the soup you tried this week.
Okay, so Jimbo, I this has to do with the Cincinnati chili and
Oh, they found me. I don't know how, but they found me.
Jimbo,
run for it, Marty.
I'm going to do something that I never thought I would be doing before.
Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for Frank?
I'm going to be reviewing a chili on the podcast.
OMG.
And that might be because Mama Frank made a chili right before I started recording the podcast, but it also is on theme with Cincinnati and what we talked about, Jimbo, chili is not soup. Mm-hmm. It's not. Mm-mm, no, sir. But you know what, Jimbo? It's a soup cousin. It's soup adjacent. Yep. Especially this. You got a lot of beans in there. But this Mama Frank's chili has a caveat. This is made with homemade bread.
Wow. Do tell.
So
sourdough? Are we talking challah?
No, we're talking frozen bread.
Wonder? Are you a Wonder Bread man?
No. The whole grain family. Whole wheat.
But can you imagine if there's a kid that, you know, when you go to school, parents make them lunch. Is there still a kid in 2022 shows up to school with a bologna and mayonnaise sandwich on Wonder white bread? Is that even allowed?
I don't even think that was a thing when I was a kid.
Because that's what I grew up on. And I came out kind of okay.
Never. Number one host, co-host of the number one soup podcast on the internet.
That's true.
I've never had Wonder Bread in my life.
Do you wonder?
Has alcohol in it, though. All bread.
Wow, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, you'd need to... They say, like, you'd need to eat, like, 36 loaves to get a buzz, but...
Challenge accepted. Pull up a stool.
That will be one of our last episodes. Jimbo and Frank try to get a buzz.
No, the last episode will be you conducting my funeral.
Oh, that would be... I'd be so good speaking. I mean, probably be more of a monologue. All right, but yeah, the soup was... I dipped with the bread. Really good. Lot very tomato-y. Very good. Ingredients sourced. Don't know. Jeez. Sourced from Aldi.
Your favorite, yep.
My favorite, yeah, but not an oldie soup. Jimbo, Mama Frank's chili. Nine.
Can I get? I was gonna say we're in the nines. We're definitely it's Mama Frank concoction, so we're in the nines. I'm thinking it's above a 9.5.
You'd be correct, Jimbo. Okay. There's another nine. And a zero, a 9.9 for Mama Frank's chili.
Wow, almost a perfect 10.
And the that has nothing to do with her preparation of it. It was perfect.
Mama Frank's gotta can these soups. They're tens all day. Think of it like a soup sampler with Mama Frank. Like you get the box and there's like six cans of each of the soups. That'd be fantastic. You could sell that at World Market. That'd fly off the shelves. Mama Frank's soup sampler. We're onto something.
Not sponsored.
Cost plus.
All right, I guess it's time for
fantastic, Frank. Is it already that time? We've come to the end of this fantastic episode. We've done so much. We're in the soup saloon. We went through some amazing soup news, almost a PSA also. Interview with Craig Fear, book out March 8th. Get it. Soups we've tried. And now, Frank, it's our favorite, your favorite, the super fan's favorite segment, the Wheel of Segments. Wow. Franklin, this is a mystery one. I don't have my eyes are blurry or I don't have the special goggles to read what this wedge is saying. Do you understand what that is?
So, Jimbo, we have another special guest on the podcast.
What?
This is the elephant in the room. And hold on, I need to go get the elephant. I may not be able to speak during the podcast.
Peanuts to draw the elephant in?
Yeah.
How do we get an elephant in the budget?
He's coming in. He only wants to speak to you, though.
Oh, okay. I'm honored, Mr. Elephant. Mr. Elephant, what is your name?
George.
Georgie Porgy. Can I call you Georgie?
Sure.
Okay. Georgie, thank you for joining us. I wasn't sure we were going to have another interview here. I hope this isn't going to go too long. Oh, George, your voice just changed incredibly high. Are you high-pitched, George, now?
Sorry, no.
Okay, that came out the other end, I'm guessing. That one, too. George, you have... This isn't how it works. I feel like Conan O'Brien in every interview. Can you please explain to me, George, how I can help you here on Soup and Ain't Easy, the number one soup podcast on the internet? Would you like a mug from tchip.com/soupandeasy?
Hold on. Let me clear my throat. All right, I'm back. This is George. So
sounds like Frank.
I know. You know what? It does. I'm not. I'm George. So, right. Mr. Chimo, I have some questions for you.
Like, I'm at Animal Kingdom right now. My nightmare. Disney freaks everywhere.
Hold on. My cousin's there.
George, what can I do for you? You have 2 minutes.
Jimbo, I have some questions, some hot take questions for you.
You get two.
If you were going to get a soup from anywhere and from in, but you have, hold on, let me rephrase.
Yeah.
If you could have only get soup from one of your favorite restaurants, would it be Corner Bakery or Noodles and Co. And no. You can only pick one, has to be eliminated. You only get one.
As much as I love Noodles and Co., I have to redeem my free bowl that expires at the end of this month. So I'll be there probably tomorrow, if not this weekend. I will have to choose Corner Bakery, Georgie Porgy, because the options are vast compared to Noodles and Co. Noodles and Co. only has two soups and Corner Bakery has five.
Thank you.
And your final question, Georgie, before we say goodbye.
Jimbo, how do you feel about tomato bisque and tomato soup being called the same thing?
Ooh, I do not agree with that. So if that is a statement that people are bragging about or declaring, check yourself before Jimbo wrecks yourself. Bisque all day. I'm not a fan of just tomato soup. George, do you agree with that? Is that what that means? Do you agree that tomato... We're going to take that as a yes. That's a yes. Frank, can you come back from the safari? It's time to close out the episode.
Wow.
George.
Hold on. I'm fighting with George.
Alec, can you get this wrangler? This is how Steve Irwin left us. Come on.
There's a crocodile.
Oh, come on. Is that British? Frank, we've learned so much today. We really did. We learned so much. Craig Fear, final plug. Grab his book, March 8th. Bookstores everywhere. Sign up for that amazing newsletter. Frank, what are the details again for that?
You can go to fearlesseating.net. Whole bunch of soup goodness in there. And the Thursday Night Soup Club is his newsletter. There was a lot of just different things about like different soups that he's testing and stuff from whatever. So definitely check it out. Definitely a good, if you like this podcast, you'll like his newsletter. You'll like his book. Definitely check out fearlesseating.net.
And with that, Frank, everyone can find out more about the Soup Boys, Soup and Easy on Instagram, Twitter. Email us, soupandeasy@gmail.com. If you'd like to be part of the show, if you'd like to send us to a upcoming soup festival, our Miami is still fresh in our minds. So we're hankering to go to another soup festival coming up soon. With that, Frank, any final parting words?
No, I'm glad that you got to speak to George. I don't think, I mean, that segment did seem like a disaster, but
yeah, he broke everything in here. So who's cleaning that wall? Alec, that's why. That's right. Frank, it's been fantastic. Until next time, Soup Boys out.
Super name, easy man. Super name, easy man. Super name, easy.